Well, good morning. Good to see you here today. We're glad that you have joined us. Isn't it a beautiful day? A beautiful day, and this is a great place to start your day, is here worshiping the Lord. Let me tell you a little story. I heard this sometime back, and it really made me kind of laugh. Did you hear the story about the grandfather who was getting kind of up in years, and he went out to play golf with his grandson, with his teenage grandson? And the grandson had really progressed and gotten quite good, and the man had gotten quite old. And even though he had been really good at one time, he was kind of up in years, and so he was going. But he was still trying to give his grandson pointers, even though the grandson was much better than him at this point. So, you know, the grandfather was telling him how to do this and how to do that. And the son, teenager, was kind of getting exasperated with his grandfather and all of his advice. And finally, on the eighth hole, the grandson found himself behind these big trees, three big trees. And the grandfather said, "When I was your age, I'd hit it over those trees and land it right on the green." And the grandson, he got the club, he tried to hit it over the trees. Of course, he couldn't get it over the trees, and he hit it right into the trees, and the ball bounced right back to his feet. And then his grandfather added, "Of course, when I was your age, those trees were 3 feet tall." Right? Kind of the thing about trees, isn't it? I mean, trees are meant to grow. Now, keep that in mind. The Bible says in Matthew 13, we've looked at this for, this is the fourth week now, that Jesus told them many parables. We've been talking about how Jesus told stories, parables, to teach broader truths, big truths, to his disciples. Last week, we looked at Matthew 13:13. "Because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." How God's desire for us when he told the parables was for us to see, for us to hear, for us to understand. Last week I asked you a question of what kind of soil are you? Because in Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower, it was all about the soil. So what kind of soil are we? You know, are we as hard as the path to which the seed cannot take root? Is our soil shallow and rocky and doesn't grow very deep? Is our soil choked out by the brambles and the thicket and the weeds and the thorns of the world? Or is our soil good soil that can bring back a harvest of 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold? What kind of soil are you? Well, today I want to add to that and ask you something else. And I want to start by this phrase that you see over and over and over again in the Bible. The kingdom of God is like. Do you realize how many times Jesus said that? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like. And each time Jesus spoke those words, it was a one-sentence parable. In other words, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. We're going to look at that in a minute. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast in a batch of dough. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that you let down and gathered all sorts of fish. The kingdom of heaven is like an owner of a house who brings out his storeroom, new treasures as well as old. A kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle his accounts. A kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who hired workers to work in his field. Jesus used those words over and over and over again. The kingdom of heaven is like. And what Jesus was trying to do every time, I think what Jesus was trying to do every time he used that phrase was to teach his disciples and to teach us how important it is for us to have a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, both now and forever. You see, because when Jesus first spoke these words that the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven had not yet come. I mean, their belief and understanding in Jesus' soon death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, Jesus' commission to the disciples to go into all the world, none of this had happened yet. So they were kind of in the dark about this kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of God. But Jesus came to bring it. And the thing about it is, he wanted them to know that this relationship with God that had been strained because of our sin could be repaired, could be restored, and could go on forever. I mean, have you ever had a relationship strained because of something that you said or did, or something that you didn't say or didn't do? And then all of a sudden, forgiveness was offered, forgiveness was received, a relationship was restored, and you think to yourself, you know what, this is awesome, and I hope it's like this forever. That's what God wanted to create. I mean, in Jesus' coming, in his death, burial, and resurrection, when Jesus spoke the words that the kingdom of heaven is like, he wanted people to understand not only that he wanted a relationship with them right now, not only that he wanted to restore this relationship right now, but he wanted this restored relationship to last forever, for eternity, not even just a lifetime. Isn't that awesome? And that's what Jesus Christ was trying to teach them when he spoke these words. So he said the kingdom is like a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Here, I got a picture of a mustard seed. There it is. You see it? Actually, that's not it. Here it is. There's the mustard seed. It's tiny. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 18 and 19, he said, "Then Jesus asked, 'What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to?' It's like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." Can you imagine that growing into a tree? Can you imagine that growing into a place that birds can nest on its branches? Jesus said that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like a mustard seed. And then he says this in verse 20 and 21. He said, again, he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? Is it like yeast? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough." And I know what you ladies are thinking, okay? 60 pounds of flour, right? But here's the thing. You don't need very much yeast. You just need almost a microscopic amount to produce the kind of chemical reaction that you want in this flour, to make it into something that is wonderful, something that is useful. Now think about this, folks. What was Jesus thinking, and what did he want to teach when he said to his disciples that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed? The kingdom of God is like yeast in flour. What is he trying to get across? Well, I can tell you what my thoughts were when I thought about this passage and prayed about this message. One of the things that jumped out at me right away is how little things can teach big ideas. How God can take the smallest of things and he can teach such great big ideas. I mean, have you ever wondered why in the world that he used these examples? You know, other parables, he talked about birds and he talked about fish and he talked about flowers. You know, Jesus told stories about people and about places and about things. But when it came to teach them about this wonderful thing that was happening, this relationship that was being restored, the kingdom of God coming down, the kingdom of God beginning and lasting for all of eternity, Jesus pulled out from their life and from their daily activity these two little, minute, smallest of things to teach this big idea. Little things can teach big ideas. But here's the thing. It's hard to see little things. Right? I mean, in order to see little things, you have to be paying very close attention. You have to be engaged. You have to make sure, because if you don't make sure, you can really get yourself into trouble. For example, a few days ago, I was driving home. I was going down Brush Mountain Road, and I was actually talking to my daughter on the phone. And as I passed this house, I noticed this man who, with his left hand, was hanging on to the second story roof, and he was dangling. And he was just holding on. And I said to my daughter, I said, "Oh my goodness." And she said, "What's going on?" I said, "Honey, I'll call you back." I turned around. I went back. I was going to save this guy. What I didn't notice was the large platform that he had built that he was standing on and he was wrenching up. I mean, I'd already pulled into his driveway and he was looking at me. I rolled down the window and I said, You know, I was convinced that you were hanging on for dear life, but you look like you're okay. Have a great day. By the way, I'm the pastor of, I was going to name another church, but I won't do that. I didn't do it. And I drove away and I thought, how did I miss that? I was sure that this guy was like hanging on for dear life. You see, you got to pay attention. And Jesus is saying here that even though these things are small, even though these things are minuscule, even though these things aren't noticed, even though these things may not be able to be seen, they're huge. They're huge when it comes to understanding what faith is all about. Why something so small? Well, I think things like he was teaching about the far-reaching kingdom of God. I mean, think about this. Here we are here this morning at this day and time, some thousands of years after Jesus spoke these words, and we're talking about it today. You know, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, to the 12. Peter preaches the sermon on the day of Pentecost, and the 12 became a few thousand, and a few thousand became several thousand, and several thousand became many millions. And even though the New Testament was written by about 100 AD, here we are here today teaching and talking and sharing about these stories. I don't think the disciples had a thought about how big this was that Jesus was teaching them. I don't think they realized the far-reaching ramifications of the coming kingdom. And the bridge that was being spanned between God and man, and what that was going to mean not only to them, but to their ancestors and to everyone that has ever lived or ever will live. Far-reaching kingdom. Jesus said to the Apostle Peter, when he asked Peter, who do people say that I am? And Peter said, you know, I'm one of the prophets, whatever. And Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, hey, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Far-reaching kingdom. But yet Jesus used the smallest of things to teach this big idea. You know, something else here I think that comes out of this smallness is this idea that he mentions here about the birds that perch in the limbs of the tree. This is one of the few parables that's mentioned in all the Gospels. In all the Synoptic Gospels, the parable of the mustard seed is mentioned. And in other of the Gospel or the parables, when he talks about seed, he mentions the birds and he mentions the devil that come and snatch the seed. And I think that's one of the things here that even though this is something that's so small, Jesus is trying to teach them how the presence of evil is going to come against the things of God. And how even though Jesus was commissioning this, Jesus was teaching them, talking to them about the importance of the kingdom, the vastness of the kingdom, the far-reaching effects of the kingdom, there's always going to be evil. There's going to be opposition to the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but man, it just broke my heart recently when you see Christians in other countries that are just literally led away and martyred because of their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I never thought that we would see that kind of thing in my lifetime, but here we are. This is the world that we have. And I don't think they nor do we today realize that when Jesus took these small things, when he took this seed, when he took this small amount of yeast, leaven, and he talked about the effects that this seed would have and how big it would grow, or the effects of the yeast and how it would permeate the entire batch of dough. We never really think about how even though God has done that and is doing that today, that there's still that this kind of growth, that this kind of a thing brings about the presence, doesn't bring about the presence of evil, but the evil comes against it to try to bring it down. Because I think with this this small illustration, Jesus gives both a prediction and a warning. And the prediction was that, listen, the kingdom of God is going to be huge. It's going to be vast. It's going to be far-reaching. It's going to affect people's lives, and it's going to affect people's eternity. But even as he gives us that prediction, and I don't know about you, but that brings me a lot of joy to know that the kingdom of God has this kind of power to bring people into a right relationship with God and to keep them in that right relationship with God, not just through a lifetime, but through an eternity. But he said, wait a minute, with the prediction of how vast the kingdom is going to be, let me also give you a warning. The devil's going to fight against that. The devil's going to try to tear that down and take that away from us. So what can we learn from these two little things? Well, let me share a few things with you. First of all, I think we need to learn that even though our faith starts small, it cannot remain that way. Even though our faith starts small, it cannot remain that way. You know what? A lot of us here today, some of you that are here in this room this morning, your faith isn't any greater, it's not any bigger, it's not any more far-reaching than it was the day you started, and that's too bad. Because God tells us that our faith can start very small. It can be as small as a mustard seed. It can be as small as a little bit of yeast in bread. But if it's real faith, it's going to expand. It's going to grow. It's going to mature. And it's going to take over. And I think when God looks down at his church today, when God looks down at his kingdom today, and he sees some of us, how we're stuck back in those beginning stages of faith, that we don't believe any greater, we don't have any more joy, we don't have any more maturity than we did years ago. And that breaks God's heart, because that's not what he meant for us. Our faith can start small, but it must not stay small. You know, I've actually had people, I had a sweet little lady say to me some years ago, she was concerned about the church growing, because to her the church growing meant the church changing, and she didn't want it to change. And she actually made this statement to me. She said, you know, and she's talking about a particular family that had just become part of the church. She said, you know, if we could get one or two more families like, and then she said their name. She said, that'd be all we need. I mean, really, is that how big our faith is? That we don't want it to grow, that we don't want it to mature any bigger than it is right now. We don't want the church to grow because it will inconvenience us. Really? Is that as small as our faith is? I was walking through the woods one day. I was hunting, and I'd put my deer stand, my climbing stand, on this huge tree. You know, it was big oak tree. And then I noticed right beside this big oak tree that had to have been there for, you know, 50, 60, 80, 100 years, I don't know. Thought about chopping it down and counting the rings, but I didn't do that. And then right next to it was a little sapling that you could tell that this little oak sapling had just popped out of the ground just recently. It hadn't been there very long at all. And I'm looking at this little sapling, and I'm looking at this 100-year oak tree. I'm thinking, one day that can become this. One day. I mean, do we look at ourselves that way? I mean, do we realize how great we can become, how big we can be, how much change we can be a part of, how we can live a life that is strong and straight like a tree planted beside the river of God, and we can bring him glory and honor and praise because we understand that even though our faith started small, it's not remained small. Our faith has grown. Our faith has matured. Our faith has become something big and beautiful and wonderful. That's what God wants. But a lot of times, that's not what we give him. I mean, we say excuses. We say things like, "Listen, we're not saved by works. We're saved by our faith, and not by works." And that's true. We're not saved by our works, but we're saved for works. We're saved to work. James said that faith without works is an inactive faith. No, he said it's a dead faith. And God wants and expects more from us. So let me just ask you, are you satisfied with where you are now? I mean, can you look back and say, you know what, my faith started small, but my faith is not small now. Here's another thing that kind of jumps out at me when I'm thinking about this. And you know what? You can take this part of the parable and you can wrestle with this for a long time. And that's this idea about a seed that is planted. About a seed that is planted. A lot of the parables, a lot of things in the Word talks about how God plants seeds. And how God germinate seeds and they grow and they produce a crop. That's what we talked about last week with the parable of the sower. But think about a seed being planted. And think about that you are that seed. And that God has planted you right here at this time. You are a seed that has been planted by God. And if that seed hasn't broken the ground, hasn't grown, hasn't matured, hasn't gone from a sapling to a strong, straight, tall oak tree, then you're not everything that God wants you to be. We are seeds that are to be planted, and we have to allow God to help us to grow and to become mature for Him. Look at this passage, John chapter 12 in verse 24. Such a beautiful word. It says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." I don't know about you, but I love seedless grapes, don't you? But I'm thankful that somewhere there's some grapes that aren't seedless, right? Because if we ate only seedless grapes, maybe I'm wrong, wouldn't they disappear? I mean, don't you need seeds, right? I mean, Jesus is saying here that unless you die, unless you are planted, unless you are buried, that you're just going to be a single seed. But if you allow yourself to be planted, if you allow yourself to be buried, if you allow yourself to grow and to flourish for Him, your one seed becomes many seeds. I think I've told you the story. I recently ran into this man again at Johnson Bible College, his homecoming back in February. Is a man by the name of Leonard Lutz. I met him some years ago, and just by chance, he and I were talking, and I was telling him about where I was raised in Virginia, in St. Charles, Virginia. And he said, "Oh, in the late 50s, I used to be a minister there. I used to travel up on the weekends when I was in college, and I would minister." And I said, "Yeah, my family used to live there. We used to attend First Christian Church." He said, "Oh, that was the church that I attended." And lo and behold, I found out in talking with this older gentleman that he had ministered to my family actually before I was born. And he told me the story how he had baptized my mother. He said, "I remember your mother bringing those little kids out of the holler, you know, out of the holler." Literally, that's what he said, out of the holler. And she'd bring those little kids down here to church. And it was so interesting to hear that that's how my mother became connected not only with the church, but with the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And I thanked him. I said, "You know what? I really appreciate you telling my mom about Jesus." I said, "By the way, here's my daughter," and Sarah's with me. "This is my daughter, Sarah." He said, "Oh, hello, Sarah. How are you?" I said, "Actually, Sarah came to school here. She graduated." "Really? Oh, by the way, this little guy that she's holding, that's Jack. That's my grandson." And all of a sudden, it just flooded over me how one seed becomes many. Because you know what? I think back, I'm thinking, okay, he doesn't tell my mother about Jesus. My mother doesn't tell me about Jesus. I'm not here. I'm not sure where I am today, but I'm not here. Right? I mean, listen, folks, it is so key for us to get this, that our faith, it might start small, but it doesn't stay small, that we are a seed that God uses to plant in us so that we become not just one seed, but that we become many seeds. But in order to do that, We have to die to ourselves and allow Him to plant us right where we are. Faith. Faith that's small as a mustard seed. Faith that's as small as a bit of yeast, bit of leaven. Maybe you can't even see it, but it makes all the difference because of where it was planted. You know, Jesus took these two small things to teach a very, very big idea. Now, you and I can leave this place this morning and not ask or answer or address the central question. But I want to encourage us to do this, that. Are we growing? Are we something great for Him today? Because of us allowing God to not only plant us, but by the joy that is in Him, that we are watered and that we are nourished through His Spirit, and that we grow to become something wonderful to Him. That we grow and that we become a part, even though just a small part, of this far-reaching kingdom of God, that even here in this place, so many years, so many decades, so many millennia later, that we are still a part of that kingdom. And even though that evil is coming against this kingdom and fights against us, we know that our war is not against flesh and blood, but we war against the principalities and the powers of the air. And that we understand that while Jesus predicted this vast kingdom, He also gave us a warning that we must be faithful to Him until the end. And it all started with a little seed that you could barely see. So whether your faith is barely recognizable today, or whether your faith is like a strong tree planted beside the river, let's don't be satisfied with what it is now. But let's allow God and our love for Him to multiply many times over and to have a beautiful effect and a beautiful harvest, not only for us, but for all those that we love. Let's pray. Father in heaven, seeds are meant to be planted, and trees are meant to grow. And I pray, Father, that we would allow ourselves to be planted right here, right now, and to be used, Lord, by You to bring a wonderful harvest that'll benefit us and our families, not just our lifetime, Lord, but for all of eternity. God, that small seed was an example, Lord, of eternity. And I pray, Lord, that we would just continue to grow and not be satisfied with who we are today, but always want to be something greater, something better, something more significant for You and Your kingdom. Lord, may we not just answer the questions that the world has about faith simply by saying, oh, I don't have time, I don't have the ability, I don't have what it takes. But God, may we know that however small our faith is, that, Lord, You can grow it into something great. And I pray, Lord, that we would allow You to do that in our lives each and every day. And Lord, as we sing this wonderful song together, God, I just pray that we would know and be assured that You are all that we need. That, Lord, no matter how daunting the task seems that's before us, that if we have You, that You're enough. You're enough for today, You're enough for tomorrow, You're enough for all of eternity. And I pray, Lord, that we'll trust in You for all of eternity, both now and for then. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.